God, thanks for today. God, thank you for every person that's here. God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you be with us. God, that the truth of who you are become real to us. God, would you strengthen us today? Whatever it is that's going on in our minds, our situations, our circumstances, God, we pray that you be in control. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're in Proverbs all summer long, and this is why this is so important. Proverbs talks from Solomon's standpoint, his words. And there's a point in Scripture in 1 Chronicles that says this, or 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said, 'What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you.'" This is a relationship that Solomon has with God. And God says to Solomon, "What do you want? What is it that you want?" And this is what Solomon says. Solomon replied to God, "You showed great and faithful love to God, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. Oh Lord, God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made him king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will give you the wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before or will ever have in the future." So we're talking about these 3,000 Proverbs, these 3,000 instructions that you and I have. And here's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is that we know things. Wisdom is that we know things and we put it into action. Okay? Because we know a lot of things. Every single one in this room, we know a lot of things. And we're really good at construing that, right? We're really good at saying things that we know. But there's something, a disconnect that happens from knowing and doing. And this is Proverbs. This is Solomon saying these things that you and I need to fully understand and grasp. What areas of my life do I know that now over the summer I need to push into action? So you're going to be a lot of places over the summer. You're going to be disconnected from your job. You're going to be disconnected from reality a little bit. You're going to be on vacation. This is a great way for us to stay connected, for us to stay together by reading together, by going deeper together, by looking at what the Bible says about you and I and how we can gain wisdom over this summer, okay? Because who doesn't want to be more wise? Who doesn't want to gain more understanding, more knowledge? Then throw it into actions. The Bible in Proverbs breaks it into three sections. The first section is to the young. The second section is to men and women who are parenting, fathers, mothers, people who are in leadership positions. And then finally, it ends in the last third of Proverbs where it is talking specifically to leaders. And let me say this, every single one of us in this room are leaders. Every single one of us, you're leading someone. You're leading people. People are watching you. You may think you have insignificance. You may think that that may not be the case. It may not be as great as you think it should be or it can be. But you are leading people. Okay? And so Proverbs is for every single one of us to look through. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 says this. Verse 15 through 17 says, "Be careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. For we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. And don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will." Paul's telling the Ephesian church, listen, we're in crazy times. Things around us that are happening, they're crazy. He's saying, listen, we have to, in this moment in time, we have to be men and women who are fully committed to living right, not living foolish, living in wisdom, living things out. We have to be committed to this. And this is going to take all of us. This is going to take all of us to get to this place of understanding. Yes, it hits us individually, but it also is us understanding all the factors that come into play. Paul told Timothy this, "All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our lives." And this is the first part of Proverbs, that you and I have to understand that there's areas of our lives that you and I need work on. There's things that are happening in our lives that we've not perfected, we've not even mastered, we struggle in, and it is all different. We'll find out there's two ways that you and I learn wisdom. The error of our ways and how we surround people. And Proverbs talks a lot about this, about companions, the people you hang out with, that you're actually becoming these people. Okay, so he's saying up front to Timothy, he's saying you have to understand that we got to be honest with ourselves. And in our honesty, we have to understand there are things in our lives that we need to fix. Okay? He continues and he says, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This is what he's talking about. When you and I dig deep, when you and I read the word of God, it's saying this is what's going to happen. As you're reading, it's going to correct a behavior. It's going to correct a pattern. It's going to correct a thinking that you and I have. And it's going to be opposite sometimes of what you and I have been taught or believe. And it says it's going to correct. But the purpose of what it's doing is to prepare and equip us. For what? For what might be coming to you. Or who might be coming to you, right? For the person that might be coming into your life that you're like, God, I need patience. I don't know why I'm praying for patience. And it's like, oh, there she is. God, that's why you're preparing me. That's why you're equipping me. Maybe you're in this room and you don't even know this yet, but you're about to move into a season where you're going to get a new job and God is preparing and equipping you for that good work that he's about to push you in. Okay, that doesn't mean it's everybody, but it means that somebody, every single one of us, as we're reading, God is equipping us. He's preparing us for the things that are ahead that we don't even know about. Okay? And if we're men and women who go, oh, you know what? I'm actually good in my knowledge. I'm actually good in my wisdom. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm about to do a new thing. I'm preparing you for this. So let's read the first 7 verses. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. He says, listen, this is the design of this book, to make a person wise, to learn how to act wisely, righteously, to treat others with fairness, to give the ignorant common sense, the young, sound advice, and the wise, even more wisdom. He's saying, this is the purpose. If you're in this room and you're like, man, there's ignorance in my family, there's ignorance in my life, first and foremost, you admit it. Listen, when you read Proverbs, it's to give you common sense. If you're in this room, you're like, well, I'm young, there's things I haven't, listen, it's to give you sound advice. And if you're in this person, you're like, I've lived a little, I have some wisdom. Proverbs is to give you more wisdom. I think there's this thinking in my life that the more I live, the more wise I am. I think the more teachable I am, the more wisdom I get. The moment I start going, I'm fine, or I know it all, it's the moment we struggle. And we've been around know-it-alls, every single one of us. You've been around a know-it-all, somebody that knows everything so much that you make up something just to see if they say they know that. No, you've not had that friend? I've had that friend. All right, so to where you like, you, I totally just made that up, bro. And you, okay, no? If you don't have that friend, it's because it's you. Like, no, I really don't have that friend. No, but everybody's looking at you right now. Wisdom is that insight which helps you respond in the right way. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is, how do I respond to the current situation that I'm facing? And this is Proverbs. Proverbs gives us insight on how we should respond. Not just knowing we should respond a certain way, but responding that way. So he even gives us specific things in relationships. And let me say this to you. Okay, this is going to be difficult. for us to hear. But this is Proverbs 15:1. If you've been yelled at, if you've been lied to, if you've been abused of some way, if you've been talked down to, even if you're right and they're wrong, Proverbs 15:1 says, respond gently when you are confronted, and you'll diffuse the rage of another. Responding with sharp, cutting words will only make it worse. Don't you know that being angry can ruin the testimony of even the wisest person? Let me say this to you. If you've not been confronted recently, you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people. I'll say it again. If you've not been confronted recently, you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people. You have to surround yourself with people that are going to make you better. And with making you better, there's going to be confrontation. Nobody says they love confrontation. And if you do, you're wacky. This says, respond gently when you are confronted. What he's really saying is, how you respond is dependent on whether you're a wise person. Because if you're not responding gently, he's saying, you're ignorant. And because of your ignorance, you've made the situation a lot worse. Not because of what they've done, but because you haven't responded in wisdom. See, it's easy for us to say, well, Steve yelled at me, and I don't like that he yelled at me, and because of that, Steve is wrong. No, I'm only responsible for how I responded to Steve. And because when Steve yelled at me, I said, Steve, I'm sorry that I did that. And because I said I'm sorry that I did that, Steve can't yell at me anymore. But when I yell back at Steve, now getting louder because I'm talking over him, I've not diffused the situation. I've made the situation worse because Steve got Noreen involved and I got Kelly involved. And it's never good when you get women involved in something like that. Right? She's defending her man. She's defending her man. And now all of a sudden the situation is straight up crazy because she told the small group and she told her small group. And now me and Steve aren't even in the same small group anymore, even though we used to be. And now the men are split down the middle because half are supporting Steve, half are supporting me. And the situation is crazy all because I didn't respond in the right way. Oh, you're acting like that doesn't happen. It happens all the time. What is that? It's me not diffusing the situation with how I responded to Steve. Coaching, for example, with me. There's a difference in two referees, two different types of guys. There is a referee that is so arrogant that he's going to call it, and he's going to call this, and he's going to let you know that it's the right decision, even though everybody in the stands knows it's wrong, you know it's wrong, the other coach knows it's wrong, doesn't matter, he's still calling it. But then there's the referee that comes over to you and says, listen, back there, I made a mistake. That was the wrong call. That's my bad. Well, what the heck am I going to say to that guy? What am I going to say to that guy in this moment? Like, well, don't let it happen again. What is that? That is an understanding of admitting that we don't got it all together. It's an understanding of coming to this place of wisdom is that I don't have it all together, and there needs to be moments of confrontation. And when these moments of confrontation happen, I have to be a person that responds well, even if I disagree with what he's saying. That I actually can diffuse the situation. Listen, here's what it comes down to, and this is what Proverbs is saying. Who you hang out with matters. Who you surround yourself with matters. Who you hang out with will eventually be the person you become. Oh, I know. I'm gonna lead them well, and they're gonna become more like me. No, what's actually gonna happen is you might be here and they might be here, but you're actually gonna go here. And if anything, they've actually become better and you've come down. What is that? That's becoming like the people that you're hanging out with. Wisdom, again, is learned two ways, trial and error, and who I'm surrounding myself with. How well do you learn in the mistakes that you make? See, one of the greatest things that I love to do, and this has been something I've done a long time, is I love hanging out with guys who are older.
I love hanging out and surrounding myself. If you look at our Tuesday morning group, most of them are retired, and it's for a reason. I'm hanging out with them. I want to be around them because I want to gain wisdom from their mistakes. And they are not afraid to tell you where they failed, where they've messed up. They're not going to tell you they're perfect. They're going to tell you they're still struggling. And I can learn from those things. What is that? It's this understanding that I gain wisdom by hanging around people who are not afraid to tell me that they've messed up. And because they're not afraid, they're correcting me from messing up in my life, really saving me years of frustration. What is that? That's wisdom. That's wisdom for them to tell me. And so if you're a teenager in this room, listen, I don't just say that so my kids can hear this. I say that so all of us come to this understanding. If you're a teenager in this room, one of the greatest things that you can do is to go to an adult and say to them, "Will you teach me your ways? Will you tell me where you've messed up? Will you tell me where you screwed up? Will you allow me to be a part of your life so that I can learn from your mistakes so that I don't make those mistakes?" And as an adult, you have to be a person that comes in and says, "Listen, let me tell you some areas I screwed up." But if you think you've never screwed up, guess what? You're never sharing those things. And because you're never sharing those things, nobody is learning from your mistakes. You know why no one's learning from your mistakes? Because in your mind, you didn't make mistakes. And that's just not true. See, when I view the trials and the errors that I've gone through, and I've disclosed those, and I want to forget that life. I want to forget that past. I want to forget all those mistakes I made. And I want everybody to think that I'm perfect. Everyone else loses, you guys. We lose. If I go into Tuesday mornings, if I don't make Tuesday mornings a priority, what is it a priority? It's getting up early. See, some people don't even know there's 2 5s in a day, but we're getting up early. We're getting there. It's a requirement. It's something that we're willing to do. If I don't come to Tuesday mornings and there's not guys who are willing to say, "I don't have it all together, I messed up," then our conversations are going to be quiet. Our moments aren't going to be learning. Our moments are going to be this contest where pride is just being pushed around and everybody's just trying to one up one another. And that's not fun. That's not good. That's not building. That's not learning. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. And because I go to this place where men are willing to say the hard things, this is how we learn wisdom. This is how we come to an understanding. This is what Proverbs is all about. And it continues in chapter 2, almost echoing chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "My child, listen to what I say. Treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight." He's making it personal in this moment. He's saying, "Listen, this is something you have to do. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." This is Solomon who's making a confident statement. And the statement is, "I know God." You know why I know God? Because I've seen him do something in my life. So I can confidently say to you, ask God for wisdom. He grants it. What is that? It's this understanding that I know God can do it for you because I'm an example of him doing it for me. And so I can say to you, ask God for wisdom because he granted me wisdom. Human beings are the only people. They're the only creation that when we don't know who we are, we copy the behaviors of other people. When I don't know who I am, I'm going to take the best version of what I want. And that might be at work. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. I'm going to take the best version of what I see and I'm going to try to copy it. The problem is that when I have to make the hard decision, I'm relying on what has happened in your life. And I've never sought it myself. What he's saying in Proverbs 2 is find it for yourself. Don't just give people fish. Teach them how to fish so that they can do it for themselves. He's saying, don't just give people silver. Make them find the hidden treasure by seeking it themselves. This isn't some trick God is playing. Like, hey, hide and seek, everybody. You can't find me. He's not saying that. He's saying, this is worth finding. Like finding silver, like finding gold. Seek it for yourself, because when you find it, there's a confidence that comes that says, I know God will do this for you because he did it for me. When I'm copying the behaviors of the people around me, I'm not convinced. And now I'm not responding in a way. I'm looking for how you respond. I'm looking for how, well, what would they do in this matter? No, no, no. What would God do in this? It doesn't say that Solomon says, I've heard from others that the Lord grants wisdom. He doesn't say that. He says, for the Lord grants wisdom. What is that? There's a knowing, there's an understanding that this is who God is. There's a convincing that happens when you take what you know and now you're putting it into action. And this is what Solomon's saying. Jesus' half-brother said it too. If you need wisdom, what's he say? Ask our generous God. He didn't just say God. He didn't say ask Almighty. He didn't say ask the creature in the sky. He says ask our generous God. Why is he using that type of description, generous God? Because he knows God is generous. Do you know when you talk about the people in your life, your job, God, your spouse, when you talk about that person, it's just reflecting what you believe about that person in your heart. That's all that is. It's words are just a reflection of your heart. And now my words that I use are reflecting my actions. What is that? It's all a reflection of what you actually believe. That's why when people joke around like, well, I was just joking, it's a cop-out because there's truth to your jokes. And some of the jokes you might be saying in fun really is just pointing out that you're racist, that you're sexist. Well, it's just to get people to laugh. No, what it's really showing how you really believe in that joke. And what it's really saying is how you believe about a certain people group, or how you believe in certain politics, or how you believe in all of these things. It's just reflecting those things. That's all that is. It's just reflecting it. And so when he says, ask our generous God, what's he saying? He's saying, I believe that God is generous because I've experienced God's generosity for myself. So if I'm not saying God, who is graceful, who is mercy, who has forgiven me, who when I've lost everything and I was alone, I know he's for me and not against me. When everybody else was against me, God still loved me. What is that? It's this knowing that God is for me and not against me. Not just knowing that promise, but I've experienced that promise. There's a big difference. You and I know what we should eat, but I know what I should be doing on this sunny day, but he says, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. You know what James is saying? James is saying, listen, don't come at God divided. Don't come at God half in, half out. Come at God all in. Come at God in such a desperation that you're willing to seek out this hidden treasure. Come at God all in. Like, God, here I am. It's every part of me, because he says there's danger. If I come to God wavering, if I come to God half-hearted, he says, listen, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. I'm asking questions like, God, why am I not seeing this? Is my faith too low? Maybe it's because I'm divided. Maybe it's because I'm unstable. Maybe it's because I'm asking, but I'm hesitant to believe that he's actually generous. I mean, picture it this way. If I was divided in my loyalty to my wife and I'm giving that loyalty to somebody else, it's not going to go well. It's not going to be good. And I can fake it for a little bit. Maybe for a lot of bit. Maybe I could fake it for a while, but some people are going to start seeing it. And that division at some point is going to cost me my marriage. And he says, it's not just your marriage. It's going to cost you a relationship with your kids. He's saying, listen, you are so divided in your loyalty. It's going to cost you in everything you do. Everything. Everything. Now you're unstable in everything you do. And you're asking the questions like, God, what is going on in my life? He's saying, listen, when you ask God for wisdom, it doesn't just make you smart. It affects every area of your life. And so now he has riches and now he has fame and now he has great relationships. Why is that? Because God granted him wisdom and it affected every area of his life. And you're asking questions like, why does it seem like everything's good over here, but this and this is so bad? It's because I'm divided in my loyalty over here and it's affecting everything else. It's affecting it. I know we want to pretend like, well, I can have a good work life even though my home life is crappy, and it doesn't work that way. At some point, the crappiness of your home life is going to affect your work environment. And it all comes back to this. How do I view God? That's what it comes down to. I'm not asking you for wisdom. I'm asking my God, who is generous, who can give me and grant me wisdom. It affects every area of my life. When me and Jesus are good, when I'm asking, when my faith isn't wavering, it's not divided, my loyalty's not divided, when all of those things are happening, everything else is good. It's all dependent on that. It's all dependent on that. The guys, I say this almost every time we talk, but you come to me or you send me an email and you say, like, this area and this area and this area in my life is all crazy. And I always say the same thing. How are you in Jesus? Well, I'm half in, half out. It's like, well, listen, you're going to be unstable in everything else that you're doing. Well, I'm asking God to do this, this, and this, and it doesn't seem like it's working. It's because I'm unstable in my faith and my everything. Everything is unstable. I'm dividing my loyalty, but I'm expecting God to show up on my behalf. He's saying their loyalty is divided. And now, because of that division, I'm unstable in everything. There's this willingness that Proverbs is talking about. There's this involvement that Proverbs is talking about. There's an all-in mindset that Proverbs is talking about, that Proverbs is talking about, that Solomon is talking about. And he's saying, listen, this is what it comes down to. Colossians 2:3, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he's saying, listen, this is an area of your life where personally, you have to say, I'm going to seek out. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be required to bring an involvement, and it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me. It's not some magic potion that we can come to church and all of a sudden we walk out wise. It's not even going to be a magical summer to where now all of a sudden we're like, we're the geniuses of all Monroe County. Like, I don't know what happened in Life Community Church, but all of a sudden they're just brilliant people. But we are starting this process of going, God, here I am, my flaws, my craziness, my mess. Here I am. And God, there's a lot of things that I know, but there's a lot of things I don't know. And here's what I don't know. I don't know how to do this. And so God, I'm asking you because you're generous, because you've done incredible things, because you've forgiven me, because your grace has been real. I've seen your mercy. I've seen your forgiveness. I've seen the things that you've done. And because I've seen that, God, I'm coming to you right now and I'm saying, God, here I am. I don't know it all. Here I am. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. So God, here I am. You guys, as a parent in this room, don't tell me that good things are not going to happen if your child at the age of 15 comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, what can I do to make life better? Mom, what can I do for you, Mom, Dad? Mom, Dad, I give you permission to correct me. Mom, Dad, I give you permission as your son or daughter to teach me your ways? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Life did not just get a lot better at your house. Oh, Mom, you don't want that? You want me to keep the attitude? You want me to think like I know everything? Like Mark Twain said, 17 years old, my dad didn't know a lick. When I turned 21, I was amazed in 4 years how much he learned. Don't tell me it's not going to be any different at your house with incredible benefits. Why? Because as a parent now, you want to bless that kid. As a parent, you want to give them great things. Not that you don't in the past, but when they got attitude, you surely don't sometimes. I want to give you something, but it's not good. It's not good. It's not good. In fact, we're taking away more than we're giving, right? I mean, you all got that one thing that you're willing to take away. I will take away that phone. I will take away that device. I will take away all these things. What? Now all of a sudden you're living in this place where you're wanting to give. Why is that? Man, just the relationship approach is so different. Why do I think it's any different with God? Well, God, I don't really need you today, and I know I'm giving you a lot of attitude, but could you bless me? Just bless me, God. I know, I know, I know, I got it. Why do I think that's any different? Versus, God, here I am. My mess, my craziness, I don't know it all, but I'm asking you for wisdom today. Would you correct me? Would you confront me today? Would you show me the truth of who you are? God, I need you. Watch how you see life differently. Watch how different life is for you. Nothing may change, but your perspective now is totally changing. Why? Because you're submitting. You're broken. You're weak. You're saying, God, I need to rely on your strength because I can't do it on my own. Would you stand with me today? I know some of you right now, you're praying for your teenager that they would actually do that. I'm in agreement with you. I'm in agreement with you. God, get a hold of our teenagers' hearts. But in the same breath, I'm saying, God, get a hold of our adult hearts too. God, get a hold of our adult hearts that we might come to you unwavering, not divided. Here's what I want us to do. And maybe you've never done this, or maybe it's been a while. I want you in this moment, as they play, and they're going to sing over you, or they're going to sing, and you may sing with them, but I want you to first and foremost do this. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to call out your name. God, I pray for Jamie right now. I pray that my eyes are open. I pray that the things that I'm doing that are not beautiful in your eyes, the things that I'm doing that is involved in arrogance and pride, God, I come to you and I say, God, would you do something incredible inside this heart? Pray for yourself in this moment, right now. Okay, we're really good at praying for others. God, get that kid, get that whatever. We're good at doing that. Pray for us right now. Pray for yourself right now. Could we do that? In the name of Jesus. God, every single person in this room. God, we come to you humbly, broken, weak, in need of a Savior. God, would you show us the truth of who you are in our lives, God? God, open our eyes. Open my eyes, God, to see you, to see who you are. God, I want to be committed to the call and the purposes of God for my life, for the people around me. God, I need your strength because I trust in me more than I trust in you, and I need your strength. I need your strength today, God. In the name